to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm your host, Venture, and we have a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're coming from.
My name is April, and I'm an occupational therapist and Venture's aunt. I've known their family for 16 years.
That is not what I asked you, April. I said, what is your name and where are you coming from? All right. You're trying to do my job right now. Don't do my job. Where are you coming from? Where are you right now?
I'm in Las Vegas.
Awesome. Hey, it's really hot out and my morning has, you know, kind of showed that, and I've been ripping and running and just dealing with, you know, my brother Daniel, just trying to make things happen. So you know how that goes, but I'm excited. I'm so happy that you came on and we're going to have a good time. And I want to hear all about what you got going on. And yeah, just obviously you've been making moves lately, right?
Definitely. Got to keep it going.
Yeah. So we're talking about physical therapy, right?
No, we're talking about occupational therapy.
What are you talking
about? Occupational therapy.
We're going to start there. What is the difference between occupational therapy and physical therapy? Because I know what my mom does. And for the past, I would say, 20 years, I don't know, 18 years of my life, it was my understanding that you did the same thing as her. Do you not do the same thing as my mom?
I do not do the same thing as your mom. No.
Oh, this is the best part. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm more like your Aunt Avanya.
Okay.
That's what I do. So this is actually really great to educate a lot of people on the difference of physical therapy and occupational therapy, because it is very misconstrued and a lot of people think we do the same thing. We don't. Physical therapy is going to work on focusing on balance and strengthening your legs, overall safety and transfers. And occupational therapy is more so going to work on what we call activities of daily living. So you've got to get up, you've got to get dressed, you got to take a shower, you got to eat, you got to, you know, get washed up. And then we work on the transfers in and out of the shower, and on and off the toilet. Also, if like you live alone, then we're helping you be independent in your home. So as far as like cooking and cleaning, we're not doing it for you, but we're educating you and giving you modifications, adaptive techniques, adaptive equipment to keep you independent and safe. Like, that is our main goal. We do also work on your arm exercises and range of motion. So it really just depends on the diagnosis is what we, and then we can go from there on what we can do to help them be more independent and safe. OT and PT, which is kind of what it's abbreviated to, is they work together a lot. And my business partner and I are very good at collaborating. And that's what it's about. It's all about collaboration and working together in a team effort to help the patient get better and get back home.
Man, so my entire life. And it's kind of embarrassing because like I've grown up in offices my entire life. And I thought that the people on this side who were doing occupational therapy got hurt at work. And then the people on this side doing physical therapy got hurt, like, I don't know, just like at home or something like that.
So we can do like work hardening and workman's comp cases. Like, definitely that is something we can work on. But it's still the focus of your ADLs and your IADLs. And then it would be the work part. So it just really depends. And that's why I absolutely love therapy. Like, I've been a therapist for 16 years, but I don't feel like I've worked that long. But I've also been able to still be a therapist, but work in different settings, which makes it great. Like, you can do pediatrics, you can work in inpatient facilities, you can do outpatient, you can work in the home, you can, you know, there's so many different settings that you can work in. It's not just one typical office 9 to 5. So that's what I love the most about it.
Yeah.
See, like, you like learned that. Something
and
new
did
today.
You always want to be a therapist? Yeah.
I did.
And, I mean, that's a part of like when you hold on, before we get into that, the biggest part about kind of this show and Natural Thoughts and Talks is I'll have people that I've known my entire life on, right? Or this just happens with any show. But oftentimes when you're young and then you just grow up with established relationships, you don't know the full story. You know what I mean? Like, let's say I have aunts or let's say great uncles where it's like, hold on, you were in a war. And it's like, it just wasn't brought up my entire life. We're like, hold on, you're from Vietnam or something like that, or you immigrated from like China. Where was that at? Because you never start at the beginning. It's kind of like when you go to church, they don't just go like, okay, page 1, right? They open up to whatever, Corinthians, chapter whatever, this, and you're like, hold on, can we start from page one? Like, how did we get here? So it's kind of fun to just hear people's stories. But did you always want to be a therapist?
I did. I've wanted to be a therapist since I was in second grade. My stepdad was actually a physical therapist, and this is where a lot of people get confused. I wanted to be a physical therapist from the time I was in second grade, and like all my yearbooks say I'm going to be a therapist. And then when I graduated high school, the physical therapy program became a master's program. And when I graduated college, the physical therapy became a doctorate program. And to me, that was just way too much schooling, and I'm not a straight A student. So I was like, I'm not doing that. Being in the right place at the right time, when I graduated, I reached out to different facilities and went and volunteered at a pediatric place and literally fell in love with occupational therapy. And they had just opened up Toro University, the occupational therapy program here in Henderson. And the lady that I went to had just received an invitation to come check out the school and letting her know they were accepting applicants. So she gave it to me. I went and checked out Toro, and the rest is history.
Yeah, I like that. That's awesome. And with the whole kind of therapy thing, would you say you were ahead of the curve? Like, how have you seen the industry change? Because obviously I just got out of college a few years ago, and like, everybody wanted to be a PT or an OT, or everybody wants to be in some sort of kind of like sports medicine or this route. It just seems like that's kind of the hot thing to do. Has it always been that way, or has that shifted recently?
I think it just depends on where your exposure is. Like, I think because of you're so exposed to the PT world that maybe that's where we see it as. Everybody that's been in my world has always been therapists. So I kind of feel the same way that like it was always talked about. I don't know. I don't know if it's ahead of the curve or just the area that you're at, you know, like if you're around more people that are like, I don't know, teachers or doctors, you know, maybe that's what you're more exposed to. So then that's kind of what you hear about more often. So yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And obviously I want you to share a little bit about your family. Like, how many kids do you have? Let's tell the listener. Obviously, you know, our families have been intertwined for as long as I can remember. And obviously I would love to talk about the importance of family. Like, work is cool and, you know, things like that. And we want to hear all about sort of your business and kind of maybe what your day-to-days look like here in a couple of minutes. But oftentimes I can find, especially in my industry, young people don't, how do I put this? It's like, there's not necessarily a why. Like, what are you working for, right? Like, oh, we want to work. We want to make all this money. We want to do all this stuff. And it's like, okay, well, what are your values though? Like, what do you, like, mine has always been family, right? Mine has been like, I would love to be able to help take care of my loved ones and help push the needle a little bit forward. So tell us about your family. And obviously you have so much going on with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have three kids, 13, 10, and my baby girl just turned 6. The two older are boys. My boys are biologically mine and their dad's. Our daughter, we adopted. And, you know, family is what you make of it. Like, your mom and your dad, they're my kids' aunt and uncle. Like, you guys are family friends that have turned into family. There's no boundary on what your family has to be. It doesn't have to be blood related. We met our daughter when she was 4 days old, and brought her home at 10 days old. So she's our baby girl. She's our princess. She is, you know, she completes us. Very sassy.
she's a little boss, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she takes after mama a little bit, but she knows that she's adopted. And that's one of the great things. The adoption process is very different now than it was back in the day. Their dad and I have always been around adoption and talked about adopting right from the very beginning. We both wanted that for our family. And after we had the boys, that's when we decided to adopt. The process is very lengthy, and it depends on everything that you want. But yeah, our baby girl completes us. So
I love that. I have so many questions. I want to, obviously I'm somebody that I have no issue fostering, adopting, just the bigger the house, the more rooms, hey, let's get as many people in here as we can. Like, that's kind of my philosophy. And oftentimes I think just growing up in that, just with blended scenarios or, you know, people mm-hmm. that have came in that aren't biologically related, like it's so normal for me that even just coming from a product of like an interracial relationship, being in an interracial relationship, when I see outside things that maybe are a little more traditional, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, you guys don't have that. My bad. So let's talk about that. And it's oftentimes people can feel that pressure of like, you know, you can see people go through such online, such great lengths. I have to have a kid, right? I have, my kid isn't going to be my kid unless it comes from my body. And I'm like, who are you? Like, hold on. Who, do you think you're like Michael Jordan or what? What are these genetics or whatever that you're just kind of honed in on? It's like, no, there's people that need your help. There's young kids out there that, you know, need your help, and you're going to get help from them too. So it's almost like that philosophy, right? Whether did you have to go over any barriers like that, or was it just always natural to kind of do that?
It was, it needs to be a very lengthy conversation between you and your partner. It's something that we've talked about from the very beginning. So we always knew it was going to happen. I'm not a person that makes a quick decision. So like I research things and I did a ton of research on adoption. I read a bunch of books on adoption, and I'm not saying that as all the answers. It doesn't. Nowadays, you have to tell the child right from the beginning that they're adopted. So back in the day, adoption was kind of shamed. It wasn't talked about, and you didn't tell the child until they were 18. Well, now they've lived a life of lies for 18 years because they didn't know their backstory. And so it kind of hinders that bond that you've created with the child. So our daughter knows that she's adopted. Is it something we talk about every day? No, we don't talk about it every day. But she knows she's adopted. And as she ages, we add a little more to her story that's age appropriate. You do have to take classes about the topic in the discussion, and you get interviewed and making sure that everybody's on the same page. Like the boys were 7 and 4 when they got adopted, when Ariana got adopted, and they interviewed them as well, which I was kind of like, I don't want you talking to my child without me there, but I get it. Like they want to make sure everybody's on the same page. And so we all got interviewed to make sure that we were all in agreement with the adoption and the whole process and stuff like that. So, the boys know she's adopted. And again, we don't talk about it every day. Does it come up? It does. Like right now at this stage, she wants to know, cause kids talk, they talk about all kinds of different things at school. And so she wants to know, did she come out of my tummy? No, you have a tummy mommy and you have mommy. So that's what we call bio mom. We call her tummy mommy. And she knows that she's like very dear and loved. And it was a huge sacrifice for her mom to make that decision. And then she knows I'm mom. So, yeah.
I think that's just a big part of childhood. Not even childhood. That's just a part of life, right? Where it's like everybody has differences and strengths and weaknesses, right? And you kind of have to be okay with that, right? Luckily my parents were so great that I didn't have to be like, oh my gosh, I'm different. And I feel Lily's a big one where she naturally has like, oh no, I have to fit in the bubble, right? To where as I go like, fuck that bubble. I'm gonna do what I want. I'm venture. Like just from the jump, it's like, oh yeah, there's no other ventures around. You ever met one? I haven't. We're still waiting to find that guy, right? So I never fat in like a traditional sense anyway. So I was never like trying to do that. Whereas you take Lily and she's like, oh no, I have these curls, or maybe like my skin's different, or I have to look like all these other people. And I'm like, no, dude, you're good. Just come over here and ride with me. Come take a ride with me. It's all good. I got you taken care of. Like you do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. Right. And I think oftentimes maybe parents, and you can speak to this too, because you have 3 kids and you're so experienced with it, is it's like people spend so much time trying to almost fit in, or get their kids to fit in, or whatever this format or formula, or like run the same playbook. And it's like, no, not everybody runs the same playbook. Everybody has to make their own playbook, find what works best for you. And it's going to look different from the next guy. You just got to keep your eyes on your own paper and just keep it rolling and do what's best for you. Right. And so that's awesome. So let's say your daughter has, you know, that's her story, right? Some other kid maybe has like a missing leg. Some other kid maybe has a parent in jail or prison, right? It's like everybody has their thing, where it's like, maybe I was a kid that moved around a lot. like every year, right? So I had to get good at making friends. And it's like, I think just saying that and putting it out there and not making it such a thing of like, yeah, everybody has their stuff. It's okay. There is no perfect person, right?
Right. It's very true.
Yeah,
and so, I think like when we were going through the process, like you had mentioned fostering, and we went straight for adoption. And the reason behind that mm-hmm. is there's a lot more to fostering. You can have a child for a year or 2 years. And as long as the biological parents are working their parenting plan, they can go back to court and they can get their kids back. And emotionally, me and my son are just, that it's way too much for us to handle. And there's a lot to their story where this is our story and we're creating our story and making our kids as strong as possible so that they can be kind of like you in the sense that like everything just rolls off their back. But raising every kid is different and every kid needs discipline differently. Every kid has different self-esteem. It doesn't matter that you all grow up in the same house. Everybody's perspective is different. And I tell my kids all the time, like, don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about what other people say to you. You be your strong, independent person and be you and not worry about it. But I think to go back to what you were saying about your sister is when you were raised, there was not so many influences as the amount of influences that we have now, which makes it a lot more challenging and raising these kids to be confident and to be independent because there's so much social media, there's so many magazines, there's so much like, look at me, I'm perfect. But a lot of them are filters, like it's not reality, you know? So just being a strong fit at home and encouraging your children to try the best, you're not gonna be the next Michael Jordan. I know I'm not raising Michael Jordans or Michael Phillips or any of that. Like, I'm not doing that. But you have to recognize that, yes, I have three children, but three of my children are very different. They're all very, very different. And I need to adapt my parenting to each of those children and help them be confident in their own ways. Because what works for my oldest is not going to work for my middle and not going to work for my youngest. So it's a challenge, but you got to learn it, you know, and help them be confident.
How
so
are they
not
different? Give us an example of how they're different. What's something that would work for the oldest that wouldn't work for the middle, that wouldn't work for the youngest either?
Oh, Lord.
Is there something that happened recently?
Well, like, yeah, there is. So my oldest requires a lot more discipline and a lot more firmness.
Pulling that belt out or what?
Huh?
You're pulling that belt out or what?
No, we're not doing that. We're pulling out the chancla.
I got you.
No. He's always been that way. He's always been very strong-willed and very determined. Like, we didn't have a second child right away because of that. Like, he was all over. He was all boy. He was into everything. He was climbing on everything. And I was just pulling my hair out. My second one, I can give him a look and he'll stop right away. I have to tell my oldest like three or four times to stop. And like, I can't yell it from afar. I got to like get up and be like, look at me eye to eye. I'm asking you to stop and be more stern in that sense. And the youngest one, oh, she just throws the sass back. And then it's like, okay, hold on. Let me regroup and then redirect. And let her know. But yeah, they're very different in a lot of areas, but I love it. Like, it's a challenge and I absolutely love it.
Before we start jumping back into your work, you talked about, I'd love to honestly know the difference between fostering and adopting. This is what I thought. And then I want you to kind of tell me what you know is there's only one lane that you can go in. You could foster, let's say a young 10-year-old kid, right? That comes in.
Yeah.
And then within time, if something happens, then the option for adoption comes up and then that happens, right? So what are the kind of avenues that you were looking at?
So there's fostering and there's adopting. And then under adoption, there's different types of adoption. So adoption's easier to talk about. So we'll start there. So with adoption, the parents are ready to give up. I don't want to say give up. They're ready to make the sacrifice to place their child in a better opportunity. And there's open adoption, there's closed adoption, and there's semi-closed. So we have a semi-closed adoption, and we just send stuff so often. There's like a website, you send stuff and put it on there. A closed adoption, it's completely closed. And as far as I know, you don't have to send stuff, but it's all in like your plan. Everything's put in there. And then an open adoption is that you get like visits with the child every so often. We chose our adoption the way we did for a lot of reasons. It can be very confusing to a child to go back and forth and back and forth. But at the same time, giving them the right to understand their story is what we wanted to do. When she turns 18, if she wants to meet her biological mother, I would gladly help that happen. Yes, she's my daughter, but she has a right to know where she's from. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm totally okay with that. As far as fostering, you have to take a course and you have to have your home inspected, and then they approve you to foster. Once you're approved to foster, depending on how many bedrooms you have and how many beds you have, determines on how many you can foster. When you foster, it usually is the child has been taken away for a number of reasons. And once the child is taken away, they will work the process reunification is always the goal. That's always the goal when you foster. So it's never for the child to be adopted to you. So if their parents have a parent plan that they have to work, they literally cannot work the plan if they choose to. And then all of a sudden work it like a week before court. And when they go to court, if the judge sees they're working the plan, depending on their progress, the kids might go back home, or, hey, maybe we'll revisit this in 6 months, 3 months, whatever the judge has set forth. If they are not working their parenting plan like they're supposed to at all for a certain amount of time, and they've gone to court a couple times, then they'll get what's called TPR, termination of parental rights. And once that happens, then the child is placed for adoption. The foster family can adopt, but they usually try to place with next of kin if it's a possibility. If not, then it can go to the foster family to adopt. But this can be like a year process. This could be 5 years. So as long as the parents are working their parenting plan, they can extend it out for as long as they want. So for us emotionally, that would have been just way too much. Like, here, take the child. No, give it back. Take the child, give it back. And that's a lot of stress on the child as well. So that's why we chose adoption. And we fully understand it was a huge sacrifice for her. But there's a lot of things that go into adoption too. One of the things that we learned, which is, it's kind of interesting. If you're married and the woman has an affair and gets pregnant, though she's married and the child is not biologically his because she had an affair, he has rights to that child. So if you're in a situation where you're trying to adopt a child and he doesn't give up rights to that child, you can't adopt the child. So everybody has to give up rights to that adoption to adopt that child. So that was like, oh, wow, it's not his kid, but he has rights because they're married. So, and of course, you know, we adopted a while ago, so the rules might be changed now. But that's how it was for us. And because I worked in pediatrics, I saw a lot of those cases where parents were working their parenting plan and then not working their parenting plan and going to court and not going to court. And it really wears on the child, and it wears on their health and their well-being in the progress of their therapy. So that's why we decided to adopt, because I got to see both ends of it.
Yeah, I know. I like that. That's awesome. So basically, would you say that more people are looking to adopt, like, who are in the realm of like, hey, this is the kind of path and this is where I want to be with growing my family, more people would go like the adoption route than the foster route typically, do you think? Or is it kind of varied?
I think it just varies.
Expert on that, but just like, yeah, it just seems like the average person would want, they're not necessarily, nobody would be interested in that emotional roller coaster of, you know, being connected and providing a safe space just to possibly have, you know, things out of your control dictate the plan. I think in my situation, what I would like to do is, I understand like your route, right? What I want to do is, I want those kids who are getting left not on a team. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah, I think absolutely. I want those kids who maybe have behavioral issues or maybe some sort of mental health or physical things that maybe aren't necessarily making them the top prospects, right? They're not the cute babies that everybody wants, right? I would love to just say, hey man, here's a safe spot. I don't know if you're going to be here for a week. I don't know if you're going to be here for 10 years, right? Or however long it is, but just know that if you're here, you know, I got you taken care of and we're going to try to do our best every single day. And that's all we can do, right? Tomorrow necessarily isn't promised with this route. However, if you're here 100%, you're safe, you know, you're taken care of and you get to learn a lot. We're going to do a lot of fun things, but that's something that I'd be interested in. And I don't think a lot of people really think that way. Even like my peers who are talking about who are so like, got to have that first kid at 25, got to have that house at this. And it's like, man, you're really trying to force a lot of things down the pipeline that you don't control, right? And I think what I want is just like, no, just, I almost just want to be like, wherever the cards lie, that's where they lie. And I would love to have your route too. That's awesome. But I am okay being like, no, throw me in the mix. Throw me in the fire a little bit, right? Because I think that that's where I would like to help. That's where I would feel almost, you know, the best to be like, yeah, who are the worst guys you got? Oh, this kid lights cars on fire. All right, fuck. Let me get some fire extinguisher and let's figure it out, right? Like, let's kind of see how things go. But yeah, I just love that there's more options than what I said previously. You put some light onto it.
And there is. There's a ton of options. In learning about my daughter's adoption process, I learned about a bunch of different ways too. They do adopt and foster to a lot more single people than they used to. As far as like numbers, if there's more people that foster than adopt, I don't know those numbers. I think it really is a personal choice and everybody's different and has their own reasonings. But there was also a girl who chose to adopt all two of her kids, and she talks about her journey. And then I started following a mom who placed her kids up for open adoption and learning about her journey, because, you know, there might be questions that come up along the way and I want to be ready for them. I don't want to be closed-minded. Oh, we adopted our daughter and now we're good. No, there's going to be a lot along the way. I think a lot of people are more open to talking about adoption than before. It was just kind of such a hush, hush, secret. We can't talk about it. And that's not the case anymore. But there are a lot more people that are single that are adopting and fostering. And I think that's amazing. For you personally, I could totally see you picking that age range and the ones with behavior issues, because it's huge. Those kids aren't being loved on. They're kind of being left out of the team, like you said, unfortunately. And I think that there's a huge need in that area, especially when they're younger and maybe are on the spectrum, or maybe you know, just have a lot of behavior issues, maybe not on the spectrum, but just behavior issues in general, that are kind of getting left out, or because they're getting older. You know, those teen years are really hard, especially when you've bounced around from place to place to place. So you have all of this history and your story that you're carrying with you, but you're also carrying so much mentally and emotionally with you that it's hard to open up to the next family. Because how long are you going to be there? You know, when are you getting moved on to the next place? Because, you know, maybe you're a runaway or maybe something else is going on. So there's definitely a huge need in that area. And then some of the kids are like 17, 16, 17, 18, and they're getting ready to age out of the system. And they don't have a place to go because they've been in the foster care for so long. And I don't want to say people don't want them, but essentially they're like, oh, I'm only going to have them for 2 years. Like, and it's going to be all behavior. You know, they've already got that stereotype to that label of fostering. So there's a need. There's a huge, huge need out there. And there's also a huge need for, it's called a CASA advocate. And they're advocates that go to court and fight for the children so that the children have somebody to speak up for them. So that's my long-term goal down the road, like way down the road when I don't have to work as hard, I can volunteer and be a CASA advocate. But that's definitely another area for need, but I could totally see you taking kids on.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to hear a little bit more about your, I don't know if it's recent, right? But at least recent to my knowledge of your shift from employee to employer, right? I know that across the long term of my childhood, you obviously weren't a business owner, right? And now you've jumped into that world, to my knowledge. And I want to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been a therapist for 16 years. I started my own business 4 years ago, and it's a struggle. It's not for the faint at heart. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of work behind the scenes, and it's a lot of time. And one of the things that I say all the time, because I heard from somebody else and I feel like it's so true, two things: your network is your net worth, and the top five people you surround yourself with is what your net worth is. So like, I absolutely love those two quotes, and I try to like pay very good attention to that. You need to constantly push yourself. You need to set goals. You need to set things that you want. And it's not just about creating a vision board. It's about putting action behind that vision board. I used to want to be a business owner long time ago. And then when I was in grad school, we had to create a whole business plan and like pick our building and pick our budget and create all this stuff. And I was like, there's no way, not doing it. Never, ever, ever. And lo and behold, 4 years ago, I started my business. And honestly, the best decision ever. Like, I've always chosen to work in home health because of the flexibility for scheduling wise, so I could be there for my kids. But being a business owner and being able to make my own schedule, like last Thursday, I didn't work at all. And I went to two meetings, and then I didn't work the rest of the day. And I took the kids to circus. Like, I want to be able to have that freedom. And you know, my business partner and I have a client right now that they're struggling with a lot of things. And because there's companies that are involved, and then it's her and I that are both entrepreneurs, we get to provide a different level of care, a different level of compassion. Like, businesses, it's always about that bottom line. It's always about this. And my business partner and I have always said, one, we're going to collaborate. Two, we want to provide resources. And that is our biggest thing. Like, we do so much networking to be able to provide resources to our seniors that we see in the homes, because I don't ever want to tell a senior, I don't know the answer, sorry, and walk away. Like, not me, no way, no how. I will find the answer for you, and I'll get back to you, and we'll figure it out. And that's, you get a better ability to do that when you're a business owner. So 4 years ago, I started multi-generational home modifications, and I service like Vegas Valley, Henderson, and Pahrump, and I provide occupational therapy services to the seniors, and then I do home safety assessments. So basically assessing their whole entire house to make them independent and safely age in place at home. And then I started a new venture 2 years ago, which today, again, when you are a business owner, you get phone calls at all hours. The AC went out because here in Vegas, it's 110. So it's hot. So trying to figure out answers to get them some AC so they're not struggling. But I have an independent living home for seniors. They're fully independent. I have three ladies living there right now. And I love it. It's hard. I don't know if being a landlord is my thing, but it's, you know, it's something I'm doing right now. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, those are my businesses. And then my business partner and I had started a senior walking group. So we've had that for 2 years. Right after COVID, it was about getting them out and being socially active, because a lot of seniors live alone and they weren't getting that social interaction. So functionally, they were declining. So we created our walking group, and then her and I host a senior health fair twice a year to bring more resources to seniors and just educate them. It's not all about big companies, but smaller companies that are here in town to provide resources to the seniors. And we've had really great turnouts, anywhere from 100 to 150 people. We just had one in May, and our next one is November 9th. So we're excited about that. And, you know, it's been a challenge, and we're learning how to do that as well. But, you know, it's all about the hustle. Got to set those goals and reach for the stars.
Yeah, I want to hear a little bit, and I'm going to say it obviously unprofessionally, and then you can go ahead and put your twist on it. But it seems like the biggest thing that I see old people having is it just gets stubborn. You know what I mean? They want to live on their own, and they just like think that they can do the stuff that they were able to do 30 years ago, right? They're like, oh, this guy's 70, 80 years old. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get my ladder out and go fix some shingles on the roof. And it's like, why the hell are you doing that, Doug? Like, right, need to call somebody. That is just not. Right. So what are some of the biggest things that you, kind of being a professional in that area, see as far as like everybody's hopefully, if things go right, if you're fortunate enough to grow to a nice old age, right? Things are going to happen, right? What are you kind of seeing are those, the common trend between like, yeah, people get old and like, they just, maybe they don't plan or they're not like prepared or they're just stubborn and they don't want to ask for help. They don't want to bother anybody. Like, what is it?
We're not going to call them stubborn old people. We're going to call them geriatrics. It's hard. It's hard to age and even to watch your body change. And you have that mindset that you're young and you can do so much. And then you wake up and your body can't do it anymore. It's really hard to process that. And I'm not going to lie. The population I have the hardest time with is our veterans. Our veterans are, they're the war heroes. They're strong. They went to basic training. They fought in war and they don't understand why they can't get up from the toilet. They don't understand why they can't get in and shower by themselves without falling. So it's just providing them resources and educating them and giving them adaptive techniques and medical equipment that will help them, but helping them understand that just because you have medical equipment does not make you less of a person. It doesn't make you a burden to somebody. It doesn't make you show your disability more. It makes you independent. Let's make you independent. And whatever that entails, that's what we want to focus on. So it's changing that mindset. And unfortunately, with some insurances, especially when you're on home health, you only get so many visits to do that. And it usually takes like 3 to 4 visits to change somebody's mindset and get them to understand you can help them get better if they participate. But if they don't participate, and believe me, we have people on all levels of the playing field, you know, those that want to participate, those that want to just be left alone, those that are extremely independent. And educating them on what's available, like the walking group, it has motivated so many people. And we've actually had people with walkers come to our walking group. Absolutely. Come join us. You know, Carrie's a physical therapist. I'm an occupational therapist. You have 2 medical professionals that can be with you. We don't leave anybody behind, but it's encouraging them that there's other people like you that are doing the best that they can with whatever their disability is and showing them. So like you had mentioned, educating them on climbing up a ladder at 78, 70 years old to change the shingles is not the best option. There's a company out here that'll do it for you. Let's call them and they do it for free. So what better is that than, you know, so we educate them on that. We educate them on, there's a organization called Nevada Senior Games. And let me tell you, those are some fit seniors that are no joke, very motivated, want to stay active. They're doing sprinting. They're doing cornhole games. They're doing pickleball. They're doing the high jump, which I was like, oh my God, please be careful. Carrie and I need a table to hand out our business cards for if they get injured. No, I'm just kidding. But they're active and they're motivated to get better. There's all kinds of different resources out there. And that's what Carrie and I want to be. We want to be able to show that and educate them that you don't have to be just laying in bed just because you're 78 years old. Like we have a lady joining our walking group and she's 89 years old. Like, that's amazing. Keep walking, stay active, because the more you be sedentary and sit on your butt in front of the couch, I'm sorry, but you're going to eventually die. Like, you have to stay active. Your body requires it. Your heart needs it. Your circulation needs it. Like, every bone in your body needs that weight bearing to stay strong and independent. And then you can stay home longer, because if not, then you're ending up in a facility because you can't get up from the chair. You can't get up and down from the toilet because you're not strong enough. 20, 30 minutes of activity every day is absolutely amazing and does wonders for the body.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I've been doing in this desert is working out. And I've never stopped working out. You know how I go, right? However, that little spark that I haven't had for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years, I started to feel it a little bit. And I felt it on the spin bike at the gym over here in Eos on St. Rose. And I go, oh no, I know what that is. I don't want to open up that can of worms. So I said, what is something that I can do to where I don't open up that can of worms? Because there's no reason to just do that. But something that's like still gets it going and I'm excited. There's a goal right out there.
Right.
And I was like, fuck, I love running. I really like biking when it's not like, I'm not going to just go bike on St. Rose because I'm going to get hit by a car. Like, I don't like that. It's too risky. But I like biking, right? I said, and I've always been a strong swimmer. I'm in the ocean doing my thing. And, you know, I got a couple saves under my belt. We'll say that, right? The people who have been in the ocean with me, who, if I wasn't there, might not be here. There's a couple out there. There's a handful, right? So I think I'm going to train for a triathlon. That's kind of something that I've thrown out there to where I go like, let's throw it out there. Let's see what happens. I don't know how long this one's going to be. I obviously went straight to Ironman. You know how I am. I was like, let me see
okay, what's going on. And let's scale like, back.
Whoa,
a little.
That's far.
Scale back. Hey, do you know your aunt actually did a triathlon? I did.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about a little bit was, do you still got that bug?
I do. So I actually was training last year for another sprint triathlon. There's one in Vegas and one in Boulder City. There's the Las Vegas triathlon that usually happens around September out at Lake Mead. And then there's Pumpkin Man, which is in October, that starts at Lake Mead and goes to Boulder City. So that's like a really big one. So I don't know if you remember that hill that goes up the back way and then goes into Boulder City. That's the hill you have to bike up. And so that was my goal. I wanted to do Pumpkin Man so bad. And I got COVID last year, the week before I was supposed to compete. Mm. And I could not, I could barely climb the stairs. So there's no way that I could do a triathlon. But it's funny you say that, because this morning I was like, okay, here comes July. As soon as July starts, I'm going to start my training again. So come on, let's do the sprint. And you can actually, because some people don't like to do the water portion, you can do what's called duathlon and do the bike, run, bike.
So you don't want to do the swimming? Or which one were you doing?
No.
Were you doing
no,
all
no,
three?
I didn't say that.
Because I want to do all three.
Okay, let's do it. September.
Oh, okay, got you. Yeah, no. So, do you know what the specs are? We're gonna wrap things up here within the next 5 minutes or so, too. I know the Wi-Fi is getting a little choppy. Hopefully, you can still hear me. But what is it? Is it a 5K run? What is the run? What is the bike? And what is the swim?
The bike is a 5K. The run is 3 miles, and the swim is a quarter or three quarters of a mile. I don't remember. I just know that you can go to Boulder Beach and you swim to the buoy, go down, loop around and come back, whatever that distance is. But yeah, I want to do it again. So I'm going to hold you to it.
Hey, well, if you're down. Yeah, no, like I said, I've been training for the past month or two. I'm ready to go tomorrow. I'm ready to go. I just want you to know that the car is out of the garage. The keys are in it. If you need a buddy to go out there and hop in some water and do it, I'm ready anytime. All right. So, but
right,
like I said,
good.
I need something before I get into that Ironman world. Cause I looked into that Ironman and I was like, oh boy, this is I can't, that's going to kill me. I can't do that. So. Yeah, I hope you had a really good time on the show so far. I had a blast. This went way better than I thought. So, can you?
I can, but it's cutting out.
Say something.
Yeah. Can you hear
me? Okay, I got you. Yeah, we'll wrap things up real quick. We'll end it on a high note, right? So, yeah, I can hear you. We're doing just good. Let's end it on a high note. And, you know, we appreciate you for coming on. And hopefully I want you to kind of see the growth of what we're building here. So maybe, you know, next month or maybe at the end of the summer, we'll have you come on again and you can kind of see, because I get better with every episode, right? So that's kind of what we're doing here with Natural Thoughts and Talks. And I just wanted to close things out with basically, as you came on and kind of experienced what we're trying to do, and we're trying to get more people's stories out there and messages. Are there maybe 2 to 3 people that you can think of, maybe in the Vegas area, maybe in, I don't know, Southern California, wherever, honestly, we're digital. They could be anywhere in the world, right? That have a good, strong spirit like you. We're looking for more female entrepreneurs. We're looking for strong female voices, because that's just kind of the lane that I kind of find myself in. And I go like, yeah, you guys are killing it. You know, there's no like, you don't have to be a housewife anymore. You don't have to do anything that you want. So is there anybody with a similar great spirit like you that you'd like to come on and maybe share their story?
I think it would be great to have my business partner come on. Like, I'm sure she would chat with you guys. And actually started a entrepreneur therapist group. So a couple of the people in that group are entrepreneurs and they're women. So yeah, I have a few people in mind and we can chat about them and see if they would like to join you.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So we'll definitely probably get their info. I can reach out. Worst thing they say is no, right? So that's how we keep it going on Natural Thoughts and Talks. But I appreciate you for coming on. I want you to have a great rest of your day. And thank you for taking the time to share your story. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Love you. Bye.